You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
All right, welcome to another Land and Legacy podcast. I'm your host, Matt Dye, and today we have some exciting guests on the podcast with us. We are going to be chatting with the folks at Stratton Seed, and before we jump in with them, we just want to give a quick reminder to everybody who's listening. If you haven't signed up, there's just a few spots remaining for the QDMA Steward 2 course in Southeast Ohio this year. Last week, I think we announced that there was just three, so if you're looking, if you're interested, be sure to jump on that opportunity as quickly as possible. We're about right there at the max of numbers for the QDMA Steward 2 course. So, without further ado, let's jump into this week's podcast with Mr. Heath North and Keith Hammer of Stratton Seed. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Man, couldn't be better. Do you guys know why I couldn't be better?
Because you're talking to us, of course.
Great point. Reason number two, so I'm super excited because as this podcast is dropping and releasing Tuesday, you guys are going to be on your way up from Arkansas, shotguns in tow, turkey vest in tow, and we're going to be hitting the woods here in Missouri, southern Missouri, hunting with Adam and I and possibly Seth Harker as well. We're going to be chasing some turkeys.
We're looking forward to it, Matt. We have been planning this trip for quite some time and happy that you guys were able to invite us up and appreciate the hospitality that we know you guys are going to put out when we get there.
You know, you're probably going to eat well. You're going to be up. You're going to be exercising, walking these hills, as Keith knows from last year. But at the end of hopefully one of the day's hunts, there's going to be some long beards thrown over the shoulder and some just down time away from the office enjoying southern Missouri in the springtime.
That'll go a long way in putting that mental block on the soreness that we may have when we get there.
You're exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, I wonder if we can get within 5 minutes of two turkeys like we did last year.
Man, that worked out awesome. Last year, Taylor came up and he killed a bird at like 9:10, and then you killed one at 9:15 on an opposing ridge, and we're like, wow, so we're basically looking over his bird, hear another shot, and it's like, that just worked out absolutely perfect. Can't beat it.
It's kind of like dueling banjos.
That's right. One answered another one, and if we top that, honestly, this coming year, I guess next week, if we top that, we're doing something right. That's all I got to say. But it's going to be pretty good weather from what they say. And I think you guys could bring some fishing poles, and I think we're going to stop by the old guys at Quest Hunt Co., have a cookout with them, and just we're going to hang out. And I'm looking forward to that. We've been rocking and rolling, traveling all over the place, and I know you guys are just selling seed like crazy on the commodity side and the specialty seed side. So I know you guys get a little bit of
have been. They've been extremely busy, you know, and it's going to be nice to kind of get this little refresher right before we kick into the main gear, really, and jump right in the middle of it.
That's right. Well, how about we do that as we are going to discuss today some new things that Stratton's come out with for 2019, and just a little bit of a recap of what the lineup is, and I'll share some experiences that Adam and I had with some of these seed blends, and it's going to be pretty sweet to talk about these new things because I'm excited about the new soybean that you guys have got for 2019 Game Changer 2.0. I'll let you guys kind of handle it from here and discuss the 2.0, its characteristics, its traits in comparison to the Game Changer itself, the original. But go ahead, y'all, and bring us up to date on the 2.0.
All right, so yeah, the 2.0 basically is going to have this very similar traits and characteristics as the original Game Changer. Mm-hmm. One of the main differences is going to be maturity date. These are going to be a little bit later maturing. That way you'll have forage a little bit longer throughout the season. And then really you still got the same amount of forage growing throughout the spring and summer, but then you also have great amount of pods. And I'll tell you this, we had it in production line last year. We planted it in first week of July or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was still cutting mid 50 bushel beans. Wow. Come harvest time. So it's a tough bean.
No doubt.
For sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to beat the original. The Game Changer has really done its job and does it well. So not so much as a replacement for what we are looking at with the 2.0, but just as a companion line to it for those guys that may want a little bit later or just a little different growth habitat. And even, you know, if they're blending together to get some that are maturing off and still actually have some green leaf matter a little bit later into the year.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's a great point to bring up. You know, there's always those pockets or those portions of a farm that you're like, you know, there just seems to always be, let's just say, a bachelor group in this bottom here early season. And I want to make sure that, you know, soybeans are very palatable that time. They're still putting off a lot of green forage, green leaves, and the bucks are, you know, coming into those fields. You might opt to plant the 2.0 in that area, and then in other areas, maybe later season, where you still want that heavy pod production and great growth during the spring and summer from beans, you might opt for the Game Changer itself, the original one, and then allow you to go in and overseed, let's say, the Legacy Blend or High Diverse Winter Annuals and get a good germination and growth out of that fall blend in the standing beans. With that maturity rate, that difference in those dates, you have the ability to really get a nice cover crop established. And we're huge proponents of that from not only just the diversity of forages throughout the year, but also the soil health benefits. So in comparison, that 2.0 is going to be staying greener longer in the field, so more traction as, let's say, you open up season September 5th or the 15th, like we are here in Missouri, or maybe even later into late September, like Ohio and Iowa, those states, you've got green beans to hunt over, which is, everyone knows, that's a humongous attraction.
Right, and y'all, and I got the honor to come down this winter and kind of check out y'all's place there in Missouri, and y'all's application y'all had, I mean, y'all did great showing it with the Game Changers and then coming back with Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so really you got the best of both worlds. You got standing grain in the field along with young, nutritious forage coming from the Legacy with the wheat and the oats and the brassicas and the clovers.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's picture perfect, really.
Well, and like that exact place you're talking about, they're on the Prairie Hollow property. You know, what we may do differently in that area is go ahead and plant the 2.0s in that corner where we know a lot of deer funnel out of. We can access it really easily early season. And then we'll plant more of the long-term, late season, just the regular Game Changers, and do that same model further out to the field, because they switch their bedding a little bit down there in that that bottom. They stay low on the slope when it's warm, right there by the creek, they bed low, and so we can capitalize on that type of movement and that shift in the bedding just by placing different forages and different maturity of these beans in different areas. So there's a lot of different things that you can do there, you know, and your strategy of planting, the food plot design, just based on the maturity. Again, the bean itself, the traits are very similar from, you know, being indeterminate, a very, very tolerant of heavy foraging throughout the summer. Both are, you know, equivalent in that, but it just holds on that green attractiveness just a little bit longer. So, you know, what would you guys say to someone who's in Mississippi? Is this 2.0, you know, they're being a choice? Is that what you guys are going to recommend to them with that long growing season that they have in comparison to, let's say, you know, North Missouri or Southern Iowa or Northern Illinois?
So, it will be in conjunction with, but not necessarily just a standalone go-to. Mm-hmm. Depending on planting times, planting conditions, some one bean may do better than the other, but it's something that we kind of need to tailor to the guys, that the individual person that's planting seed. So sure. It just gives us that option to be able to have something that's kind of a fit all for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it just kind of depends on the landowner's goals, as I know, but just kind of depends on what they want to do with it. If they want to have forage out in the field longer, or if they want to go ahead and get those leaves dropping early, that way they can get in there and plant something underneath it. It just depends on what their goals are.
And as you guys have probably heard us talk about all the time, is, you know what, diversity is the best. So honestly, you know, doing some in the 2.0s and doing some in just the regular game changer, having that option and that diversity of forages is always best. So I think that's definitely a game changer, if you will, for this lineup and this bean. And what is that bean going to retail out?
Your average retail on that, $45, somewhere around in there. Just depend on where it is. Depend on how we can get it there. It might be a little bit more, a little bit less, but your average is going to be somewhere around in there. Yeah.
Sure.
Perfect. Which, as you know, is about half and sometimes a third of the price as some of the other out there.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
And I want to throw in there too. I think we mentioned it. I'm not sure, but they both are glyphosate tolerant. So you can spray glyphosate on there and you kill out the weeds and don't have to worry about hurting the plants. So
absolutely.
Matt, with that, I know we discussed a little bit and not really come full bore with it yet, but moving forward, maybe on extremely small quantities this year, but for sure next year, probably going to be looking at some additional trait platforms to help these folks in different areas that are battling Roundup resistant weeds that mm-hmm. want to plant those beans. I truly feel by next year we'll be able to come forward with something and maybe share at a later date what that is, as far as some additional herbicide resistance.
Absolutely. That still have the same type of traits from the soybean, the quality we're looking at from the food plot application? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And what we look for in selecting these varieties, and some of this stuff is fairly new and we want to test a little bit more before we're 100% with mm-hmm. it. But, you know, that indeterminate early to mid group five, where we can still get in with our fall food plots, but yep. something with an extremely aggressive growth habit, drought tolerance, everything that you can think of and that's in the game changer currently, but with some additional options to go along with it.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of herbicide resistant weeds out there. Different areas have different weeds that are just the very troublesome ones that are very tough to eradicate, especially if you're just using that glyphosate tolerant bean. So that would give quite the option for folks. I know we'll be hearing more from that as you guys continue to tweak and develop things. But man, that's great. So
we'll definitely stay tuned with it and keep an eye out with Keith this year. We're going to be putting some stuff out there, kind of help some of the guys with planting procedures, growth procedures, stuff like that. Keith's going to help us this year and kind of planting a little bit of everything to help show what we have and what its capabilities are.
Yeah, no doubt. So basically, Keith, this summer you're going to have little production plots down there in Stuttgart on some of the acres with all these different types of blends, and you're going to be doing some vlogs yourself, some short clips of just the different stages, the benefits, some tips and tricks to get that stuff established appropriately. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. So we're going to stay busy this spring and summer. We're fortunate enough to have, I think we got somewhere around 100 acres that we've got that are quote unquote going into test plots. So we're going to be planting all these different blends mm-hmm. and then the game changers, obviously, and the 2.0s and some new stuff as well that we'll kind of we'll tell you about later on. But yeah, we're going to be shooting some little short videos just explaining to people, you know, how to plant it, how to take care of it, what you can spray on certain things to kind of help with weed pressure and mm-hmm. then go from there.
And probably just good weed identification as well, which is always you know, important thing to do when you're trying to select a herbicide that's going to work effectively on these plants. Just being able to identify, hey, what that weed is, and then applying appropriately. So that'll be definitely a big advantage and help to anyone who's listening about, you know, they want to track the process of maybe calibrating all the way down to planting, germination, and then the different stages of development with these new blends. How are they going to find that content, Keith?
We'll upload it to our Facebook page as well mm-hmm. as our Instagram page. So you can find them both there, and then I'm sure you might share them. So you might probably find them on your page as well.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah, we definitely can do that. So that's Stratton Seed on Facebook and Instagram. I encourage you guys to go check that out because, like I said, they'll be having 100 acres of test plots that you guys will be able to learn a lot from. You know, the guys who are putting these blends together and understanding the growth traits and qualities of these types of plants. You know, they're the guys who are understanding it fully and will be able to share that information and educate you on why this is great, why this is better, and, you know, being able to identify that in the field is super important. In addition to the Game Changer 2.0s, the later maturing bean, and I don't think we covered it necessarily, guys, before we jump into something else, the 2.0, what group bean is that in comparison to the Game Changer?
So a game changer is basically a mid-group 5 soybean. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you're looking at almost a week to 10 days longer before maturity with the 2.0, which is actually a group 6, early group 6 mature.
Okay. Gotcha. And sometimes it doesn't sound like much time, but that week and a half or so difference, that can go a long ways when you're trying to get another food plot or basically overseeding that fall plot into the standing grain.
You think about the difference between, you know, September 10th and the end of September. There's quite a bit of time frame in there, and that's probably about the difference that you're looking at, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for us, our average frost date, we're looking at about the 23rd or so of October. And let's say we get a cold snap, and that's the average, you know, week and a half earlier than that, you know, that's a lot less growth that that fall plot's going to have. So, you know, really when you look at it, that much more time, you know, means a big difference. It makes a big difference when you're trying to establish something else in that last window of the growing season. Let's talk about Bonafide. That is a new blend from Stratton Seed this year. And I know it's limited quantities as well, but there's two components to Bonafide. And so, Heath, I know you've talked about Game Changer and this dwarf corn. But I'll let you run with that and talk about this new blend.
Yeah, so what we've done this year is this is the first year for a Roundup Ready dwarf corn that's been introduced. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is taking that and blended it with the original Game Changer. So what we're targeting with this are half-acre sections.
Mm-hmm.
And in that half acre, we're going to have roughly 61,000 seeds of the Game Changer paired with 10,000 seeds of the Roundup Ready dwarf corn.
Right.
So this gives us the optimal blend of what we've seen and what's been recommended to us for this year to maximize what we can get out of this. So the dwarf corn, again, is not what you think of when you think of field corn. So, you know, you're talking probably 5 foot overall in height.
Mm-hmm.
With ear placement roughly a foot and a half to 2 foot off the ground, and cobs that are probably going to be 8 to 10 inches with smaller seed kernels. It's definitely more derivative of a wildlife corn than it is of a field corn that we're all used to seeing.
Absolutely.
So,
I like the placement of that ear. when it comes to offering forage, not just for deer, but for other wildlife species as well. Turkeys, dove, quail, like it's very close. It's much closer to the ground than your general field corn, correct?
Correct. And, you know, that also gives the binding ability that Game Changer has the chance to really shine in the fact that it's climbing those stalks all year long and really offering a lot of forage until those corn cobs can get ready.
Absolutely. Now, that's a great combination. And so that's coming in half-acre bags, and population count, again, 61,000 for the bean and then 10,000. So basically a 6-to-1 ratio of soybeans to corn, correct?
That's correct. And again, with it being the Game Changer and the Roundup Ready Dwarf Corn, glyphosate can be sprayed over the top of this without injuring either.
Fantastic. Man, that's great.
And I'll go ahead and add in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As Heath had mentioned, we have a short supply of that for this year. It's more going out for testing and that kind of thing more than anything. But we would like to kind of send out an invite to your listeners, obviously, we want to spread this out as far as we can and
sure.
get an overall growth aspect from it, from all different states, really, as far as we could reach. So I think this is averaging retail around $40. So, I mean, we can ship it to wherever, and we'd like to see some little plots in several states around us. So
no doubt,
just kind of an invite for your listeners. You can give us a call, and we can give that information later, but, yeah. Just give us a call and we'd like to see it out, spread out all over.
That's exactly right. And that's what helps, you know, seeing these different basic, let's say, producers or growers, food plotters, land manager, from all different states and different food plot sizes, everything, all these different variables help to, you know, all that information comes back and says, okay, what tweaks do we need to make? Or, man, that was spot on. That worked really good in this region. That worked really good up here. Maybe not so much up there. What can we do? And I think that's a great opportunity to get this bona fide blend out there. There's no doubt that, you know, the soybean and the corn, the combination there of the two work really well together, especially when you're looking at those types of traits. Like I said, Heath, with the Game Changer, the climbing capabilities of it matched with a dwarf corn that's got a lower ear, that's more wildlife friendly, that has even smaller kernels for different birds to be able to digest and deer to still be able to consume. And it's just at different levels. All to say, glyphosate resistant, that, you know, you can go out there, have clean fields, really do what that blend itself is really maximized for.
Sure.
That's producing a lot of summertime forage and grain for the winter.
And, you know, those two individual, the dicot and monocot components of it, are work very good in conjunction in the fact that soybeans are nitrogen fixers and corn are nitrogen users. So the symbiotic relationship those two plant types have together will play a huge benefit in the strength and health of the plot all year long.
No doubt. No doubt. And that's one of those things too, that, you know, you can always come back in, and as that soybean and corn begin to mature, you can always, if legal in your state, use a brush hog and begin to mow some of those areas down, or portions or corners of fields, tuck a ground blind into it. You know, that has the ability to be pretty attractive in a lot of portions of the country, even crop country, where it seems that corn and soybeans are kind of everywhere. You leave it standing and begin to mow it down, you can really attract and pull a lot of critters well within bow range. So that's a unique combination there, and not the two necessarily together, but just again those different traits, and I think that's matched very well. So going beyond just the nitrogen fixer and the corn aspect of it, you know, you've got two different types of plants where its growth traits are very, very symbiotic, leaning on one.
correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but with us being able to keep the ground clean and knowing these beans mature off a little earlier and probably, you know, about the same time as the corn, but pretty similar, if you have the capabilities, which us in the South, we have a lot of aerial application on different seeds, but we could still even fly over the fall food plots prior to the game changers dropping leaves and have that green vegetation coming absolutely. Back up through it after we've mowed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt. That's definitely a viable option and one that we would want to do. If you always have that, if you ever have that ability to do, you definitely want to try and get a ground cover established, and that Legacy Blend or the Bounty Hunter in the fall is definitely a great option. Sometimes, yeah, you might not have the ability to certainly fly it in, but whether you're broadcasting or going down, you know, the edges or picking every fourth or fifth row to go through and just with the broadcast seeder slung over your shoulder, with the maturity rates of those, you're right there in that ballpark. So what is the maturity date or how long for that corn?
It's going to be similar to what you see in field corn.
Yep.
We have not had enough data with it to know kind of how it's going to react in this actual situation.
Sure.
So it's going to be, like I said, with us having a small quantity this year, it's going to vary even between the regions that we planted in. So
right.
It's hard to put an actual date on that, but nothing out of the ordinary that you would see with corn.
Mm-hmm. So roughly 120-ish days?
Yes, roughly.
Somewhere in there. Awesome. So I know someone's gonna ask, you know, most times from a agricultural standpoint, you're seeing corn go in the ground before soybeans. So at this point with the combination, when would you guys suggest soil temperature or, you know, to be able to plant this with the best yield possible?
You know, you do want to wait for that soil to warm up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, corn getting in early is very beneficial with catching the early rains and understanding that there are going to be some kind of downsides, I guess, or not necessarily good sides, but
maybe a little give and take, but
yeah. So you're going to want to wait until that's at that more optimal soybean planting time, which, you know, May, June, and probably no later than mid July, I would say in our area on planting.
Sure. Well,
but
perfect.
May and June being your optimal times.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Adam and I were talking the other day as we were coming back down from Iowa and rolling through about Midwest Missouri. It's like, you know what? These guys are going to be getting corn in the ground in the next few weeks, whereas, you know, we won't be planting our food plots that are, let's say, roughly soybean-based until 15th, 18th or so of May. So there's... In our area, about a 3 to 4 week window of general difference in the planting time when you're seeing guys get out there in the field, the producers. But, you know, you're still well within the window of that corn being able to grow effectively. We typically, on average, get good rains all the way through the first part of June. So if I was looking to plant this here in southern Missouri, I'd be doing it in that late May window with great success. Hopefully, right?
Right. Absolutely. And typically, I know it depends on where you are and which region and everything else, but, you know, you plant right there 1st of May, you're looking at, you could broadcast a fall planting in there middle of August, maybe even somewhere right there around the middle of August, and that'd still give you plenty of time.
That's
and enough
window.
Days before the first frost. So
absolutely. Yep, sure is. Let's talk about the Ancestry Blend, and that's a new one for you guys this spring. Let's go over what is in that blend and why it's there, and being offered this year, this spring of 2019.
All right. So Ancestry we came up with after last year. So just basically what's in it real quick, you got cowpeas, soybeans, and that's going to be just about half of your mix right there, actually a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got milo, sunflowers, buckwheat, and sorghum Sudan grass. So we came up with this blend because certain rules, regulations in Arkansas and Mississippi.
Yep.
The Heritage blend, you know, contains sun hemp.
Right.
Can't offer that in Arkansas and Mississippi, like I said. So basically, this is just an alternative that's very similar to Heritage and how it acts.
Definitely.
But we can offer it in Arkansas and Mississippi. Not saying that's the only places you can plant it. I mean, if you wanted to plant it in Missouri, you'd be just fine. It's going to run you a little cheaper than the Heritage, but very similar to the Heritage blend, and how it grows, how it acts. You got the cowpeas and soybeans, and you got sun hemp as structure. So very similar.
No doubt. I think that's a great option for those folks who are in those, you know, Arkansas, Mississippi, the states that don't allow the, you know, addition of sun hemp being planted or carried. So this right here is the alternative. No doubt you're going to have the climbing capabilities with the peas all over the Milo, the sorghum sedan, and sunflower stalks, plus the soybeans. You know, it comes in a 40-pound bag. Seeding rate's 40 pounds an acre. So roughly you're saying 20 pounds of the cowpeas and 20 pounds of cowpeas and soybeans in that blend, right?
Right, yeah. And whether you leave it standing throughout the fall and winter and use it as a screen, just like we've talked about with the Heritage blend, or terminate it and come back and plant your fall crop, just like we always go back to, depending on what your goals are and what.
Right.
I mean, it really depends on how many food plots you got, honestly, whether you go straight soybeans or do a blend like Ancestry or Heritage. But you can leave it standing, use it as a screen, and really, whether you leave it standing or you go ahead and terminate it there, that's a lot of biomass and nutrients going right back into the soil. And I know where y'all are. It's real rocky, and you do a couple years of this kind of planting, and you kind of start to build a little bit of soil there and mix that in with no-till.
Yeah, you change your organic matter, the composition, their percentage within your soil by allowing these types of plants, the sorghum sedan, who's got a big stalk and it grows, you know, 8 foot tall and has lots of leaves. Same thing with the Milo. All these different things that have got so much organic material, when they lay over and start to decompose, that's what's being converted into that additional organic matter. Additional organic matter in soil increases the ability, the water holding capacity of that soil, and creates a better environment for your microorganisms, the bacteria, everything, to make that soil function the way it needs to. So it sounds silly, but truthfully, what you plant in the ground and the way you allow it, by not, you know, tilling the soil, allow it to just slowly decay and break down and become a part of that environment. What you plant can help dictate the growth rate of or percentage of organic matter back into your soil. So that's why we opt for high diverse blends and do the no-till practices. And one other thing, and I talked about it recently at an event in Ohio, is no-tilling. Yes, there's no-till drills, but broadcasting, it's just simply broadcasting seed across the ground, is a form of no-tilling. So, you know, there's always that constraint of whether you have the ability to rent a drill or buy a drill. If the seed allows, broadcasting is a form of no-till drilling. So I don't want people to, you know, fear if they don't have access to that no-till drill. You're still being very mindful of the soil and that environment that you're hoping to preserve and enhance and improve by broadcasting seed across there. We typically encourage people to bump up seeding rates, but it is definitely a form of no-tilling and getting results out of that. Gosh, Keith, you saw this year we broadcasted a lot of the Legacy blend. We got good rains and timed it right, and just broadcast that seed, and the food plots, they looked good. Looked great. Yeah, you wouldn't have really been able to tell.
Yeah, they looked real good. And one of the plots that I was really most impressed with too was one that wasn't even really growing, throughout the winter, but it was just, it acted as a screen, and he kind of had a hidey hole food plot behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Right there off that main gravel road that you're trying to keep peeping toms from looking at your deer and whatnot.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That application right there really just wowed me just because of the simple fact, I mean, it's so relatable to most hunters out there. I mean, whether they're using it as a screen, getting it in and out of stands, or like I said, trying to keep people from trespassing or just looking onto your property.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is just a 1-2 knockout, really, in my opinion.
It definitely is. And that was honestly one of those things that we found out as we planted it. We've done very similar blends before, but the incorporation of some of these other plants really allowed that heritage blend in this application to stand very tall. We did get ice. We did get snow. We put it through the ringer this year, or I guess Mother Nature did, and it's still standing in many portions across the plot. Adam and I just checked it out the other day. So it's been, you know, a full winter, and in the areas that we didn't go back in and drill and just, like, you know, tested it as a screen, very, very effective. And it's so effective that we've started to, in consulting, recommending, hey, let's break up this field a little bit. Let's get really creative. You know, the whole thing doesn't need to be, you know, a monoculture or soybeans. Let's create some diversity along the edge. Again, break up the visual aspects of the field. Maybe that's going to allow you, if you've got several food plots in a row strung out through a bottom, you can plant the heritage blend on one whole side of it and leave it standing, and then interior you've got, you know, your soybeans that you're overseeding, and that's going to allow you to zip back and forth and not disturb those food plots, whether it's a walking situation or just driving a buggy. You leave that heritage blend standing, now you've got a screen, and you've got something, too, that you might be able to sneak in if you kind of cut a trail through there, sneak in around the edge of a food plot and hunt a place that you never would have been able to because you would have been walking across open field before. So we're really able to design and really steer deer in a way, make them more comfortable by, instead of them coming out to, let's say, a 6-7 acre field, we're now kind of crunching it down into 3.5 acres, but the entire growing season, we've got forage all throughout the bottom, and it's really becoming a very cool tool to be able to use in those different types of applications. So I'm a humongous fan from so many different levels of that heritage blend, because again, the forage, the attractiveness, the diversity, the ability for it to grow in drier conditions, offer tons of forage for game birds, as well as deer, and the organic matter. The list goes on and on and on. So, it's definitely a cool blend. That one came out last year, but again, that blend itself is 40 pounds, and it's planted at 40 pounds an acre. So one bag will cover an acre.
Right, and something we didn't really touch on just while we were sitting there talking, but something I kind of thought about was, mm-hmm. you know, you've got, and I'm not going to say most of them, but I mean, I've got properties where I don't have, but maybe 2 or 3, 4 or 5 acres to plant, but
sure.
And so you try to go in there and do something with a game changer. Yes, the game changer is a great option, but for something for smaller applications where you don't have as much ground to plant food plots, that's where something like the Ancestry or the Heritage comes in great, because that allows you to plant that, and you got different plants growing at different rates, and they're not just sitting there hammering one thing.
Correct.
Granted, I mean, because I've seen plots before where game changers, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that they can get hammered by 50 deer in the area on a half acre to an acre food plot.
There's nothing out there that's going to
plot pods. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing out there that's going to. That all goes back to, maybe the attention shouldn't be put on food plots. Maybe it should be the attention put on harvesting antlerless deer and balancing back out that carrying capacity of the land. So all that being said, yes, that heritage blend, because of diversity, because of the stages of growth and the way these plants lean on each other, you do begin to get more production, even though your seeding rate of, let's say, the soybeans, the cowpeas, is lower, you get more production out of them because they're in a different environment where they're not so easily accessible to all the deer, and they get hammered before they can even get, you know, several leaves on them. So that's definitely a great option, and we make that recommendation very often as well to folks who are saying, yeah, I can't grow or get grain out of these plots. Well, consider growing grain in a different way. That's what the Heritage or Ancestry blend can do.
Right.
So there is the Revival blend as well that can be planted in the springtime. And the Revival is that perennial clover alfalfa blend. So it's got red clover, white clover, alfalfa, and chicory in it. So typically we'd be looking to establish that food plot, a perennial clover base, in the fall time. But again, if you're looking to overseed, top dress things, or maybe just got to a new property and you're trying to really get something going, it is viable to plant the Revival this time of the year. But again, if you have the option to wait, I'd go ahead and wait just for the long term survivability and getting a better foundation started there in the fall. You can plant with a nurse crop of wheat, but then again, some people might be in the boat, hey, I need that perennial clover base right now. So those are a lot of the warm season food plot blends and options that Stratton has got. Have you guys got any other comments on maybe it's the 2.0s, the Bonafide, or the Ancestry blends?
I think we just about covered, unless there's something you think we're missing. Something I wouldn't mind talking about for a second, if mm-hmm. we have a little time.
Sure do.
Is the Upland Bird mixes we offer as well.
No doubt.
This year we've got the Upland Flush, just like we had last year. Called a little bit different last year, but this year it's the Upland Flush, and it's got your soybeans, Jack Millet, White Proso Millet, WGF Milo, Buckwheat, Dwarf Corn, and Sunflowers. I'll tell you, and one of my favorite things to kick off hunting season is dove hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And this right here, we actually had just a little story. I had one of my buddies, they always hunt, Taylor, it's actually Taylor. He they hunt crop fields every year for dove hunting. And, they always limit out early. And
right.
Last year, I texted them about 8 o'clock and they had only killed a few. And I was hunting with some of my buddies actually that they planted some of this Upland Flush, and we'd already had limits by then.
Oh,
and it
geez.
Was, yeah, I was impressed with how it grew. And, yeah. And then something else, something new that we kind of came out with, and this is just a little bit of a cheaper version
mm-hmm.
and, not as many pounds per acre, but it's going to be White Proso Millet, Paradovic Sunflowers, and Milo. Mm. I think maybe $5-$10 difference, but
right.
That's just another option as well.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Anytime you get those small seeds growing in such quantities like you can in these blends, you're going to be attracting birds, doves, and they're going to be there for sure. Doves, they feed by sight, and so if they can see that ground, that seed laying on the ground, man, you're doing a lot for them just because it's very visual. They can see the grain head and they can see that seed laying on the ground. So any blend like that includes those types of seeds, man, you're gonna do awesome.
Yeah, Matt, I'd like to add about a couple things because
sure.
Where we're located, I can't go bass my duck plot blends either. Just, you know, Quick Six was a big hit for us last year. Had a lot of guys that had it, liked it, and I think there's going to be quite a bit of it out this year. But
mm-hmm.
a couple of things that we've added this year to kind of come along with this is, one, we have something called Final Flight.
Yes.
Which is an alternative to Quick Six. For some guys in our area, it's a little difficult to get a plot in timely. and up with the quick six. Mm-hmm. So what we did is put some of the shortest maturity varieties out of that, which is the buckwheat, the Jap millet, and Proso millet, yes, as a three-way blend. That's something that can be planted a little later into the season, maybe after our rice has been harvested, something like that. But gives us the option for those guys that just can't quite get in when they need to with the quick six.
Sure, sure. I mean, obviously, water levels are and just time in general is very unpredictable. So having those different maturity rates for wetland attraction is definitely a good option to have. And I think, like you said, you know, your quick six sold great last year, but I'm excited for that quicker maturing one as well.
Sure. And then the last piece that we have is something that we're calling Invisiblind.
Yes.
This year. We really are excited about this. It's a two-way blend of WGF Milo and sorghum Sudan grass, and what it is just a natural cover. It's always a pain for me trying to make time to you know, either find cane or go to the store and get some stuff to actually brush our blinds, but this gives us an opportunity to get some great height and great material that we can just scatter some seed right around the blind area or the blind if it's a permanent one. Mm-hmm. And have very quick growing, very short season cover to help us with some of that timeliness too.
Absolutely. So you're basically just planting that in and around kind of the circumference of your blind itself. You've got it allowed to grow out through the growing season. And then if you need to, you've got a great supply of cover to fill in any gaps that you may need there on the blind or brush in. But man, absolutely, you're really well hidden with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, even for us trying to find a place, there's a lot of open prairie here to park vehicles or park four-wheelers in the field. You know, yeah, if we've got a spot that we've got designated for that, to be able to help kind of hide some of what we're doing here too, or even around ground blinds, deer blinds,
doubt,
if that were the case.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that some of that stuff could be planted right in front of an elevated deer blind, just because you know, if you're up on a platform, you'd like to be able to get into that blind undetected. If you got good access and be able to climb up a ladder, backside of it, that'd be fantastic, because that stuff will get pretty tall. I think I've seen some pictures.
You know, sorghum Sudan's got 8 to 10 foot, and then you've got a lot of low coverage with the Milo plant. We all know how beefy a plant is, but
yes,
even like I said, if we get in and find we got a visible spot on the blind, we can cut some of it down and move it to where it needs to be too, and everything's right there handy.
Man, that's awesome. Good thinking there. And what size jug does that come in?
So it's a 2-pound jug. So
okay,
we tried to make it where it's a little easier to ship, a little bit easier for you guys to handle. And it actually comes with a shaker top, kind of like a big salt or pepper shaker.
Okay. You just plant it right out of that bottle. Get the bottle.
That's all you do. Just take it and wherever you're going to be, you can scatter it out. You know, we typically say one jug to the blind or to mm-hmm. the area, but if you don't quite use it all, you can pop the cap on it, stick it in the fridge, and it'll help last a whole lot longer too.
Yeah, no doubt. Man, that's awesome. Well, I know, guys, since the last time we talked on the podcast, distribution, dealers, everything, that has definitely increased. So where are some areas that just kind of come to mind real quick that you know, there's dealers established and ready for the spring push here for you know, accessibility of folks ordering seed?
Well, actually, Keith had to step out just for a minute, but I'll try to answer the best I can to that
right.
question. And you may be able to help me some, Matt.
Sure.
I know you guys have helped Keith a little bit, but
yeah,
we've had a lot of the co-op systems,
uh-huh.
You know, be it around the Fayetteville area, Arkansas, or just in general in the whole Southeast U.S., we've had a lot of co-ops that have come on board and helped us out.
Yes.
I think there's some in your guys' immediate area,
yes,
but to speak specifically, I really don't have that answer.
Yep. So I know Keith, we've been chatting. There's pretty much coverage from Southwest Missouri all the way to Southeast. I know there's some places, I believe in Tennessee, Western Tennessee, Kentucky, some dealers over that way. And I know there's some QMA branches as well who have, gotten on board and become dealers, I think, out of North
Missouri. Yeah, I actually think we've taken some inventory up already for some of the QDMAs in South, I guess, East Central Missouri. But we've definitely have got these things spread out a whole lot more because we all know that the shipping is the most difficult piece and where our cost aspect comes in. So the more guys we can get on board to help us out. And, you know, we've even tried to look at, you know, contributing orders, meaning the fact that if we get several guys in one area where we can put an order together and ship direct and yes. move a single pallet, that's going to save everybody time and money at the end of the day. So we're hopeful sure. to be able to put some of that together even this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to be able to do it. So if you're out there and you're like, well, that area, you know, I'm looking and getting some seed. I didn't really hear that there might be a dealer. Definitely get together with some neighbors and chat about it. Reach out to us, info@landandlegacy.tv or one of the guys there at Stratton, and let us know kind of the size that you're talking about, the size of order, and we'll make it happen, and we'll try to make it as feasible for you guys to be able to get seed. Again, like you said, their shipping is always kind of tough, but you know, there's certainly ways to go about it. And another way that people can order seed new this year is we have, where we've been selling apparel, we have an online store, landandlegacyapparel.com, or go to landandlegacy.tv and hit the shop tab, and you'll see an option to order seed online. And so we have all the spring blends and soybeans available there at landlegacy.tv. You can go there and click on the blend, order online, and what it's going to do, because shipping is pretty variable based on the weight, the amount, and the location, it's going to notify Stratton, and they're going to be able to put together very quickly a estimated shipping amount, get it approved to you through email, and so you're not going to pay for anything until you approve that shipping cost. And then an order will be processed. So it's a way that we can get more people available to order online. And then you know exactly what shipping is going to be before you ever, you know, have to fully commit to the actual order. So if you guys are interested in what it was going to be, we encourage you to check it out. Again, that's landlegacy.tv. Click the shop tab or landlegacyapparel.com. You will see the food plot seed tab and can run through and check it. And, you know, that's another great option, again, for figuring out what shipping may cost there for your area. But if you have, again, several people all coming together, you know, in a given area, I know you guys have been very helpful for those types of folks, Heath, who are like, you know, I've got two pallets I can order with my buddies and friends. You know, let's see what we can put together. Scratch each other's backs. That's what works.
That's right. And, you know, we're committed to try to get everybody what they need as efficiently as we can. So we understand there's some barriers there, but as we continue to, you know, move into year 3, 4, 5 with this stuff, I think the amount of dealers that we're going to have on hand, and in addition with the website, with you guys, I think mm-hmm. things are going to become more readily available to the general public at a much reduced cost.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen that jump from last year to this year already, and it's just going to continue to grow exponentially as more of these blends and soybeans get out there in the field, and people just see, wow, how drastic and awesome these blends are. So I'm encouraged. I'm glad to see that it's growing. The interest is definitely there. I know you guys have been, we've been trying to do this podcast for about 2 weeks, but between your guys' schedule and our schedule, man, it's tough just to get together because you guys are screaming busy, blending, you know, these blends, getting everything organized, and we're gone half the week and then available the other half, but it finally worked out today.
And I'm glad it did. I've been looking forward to getting back and talking with you about this stuff and what new we've got coming. And, you know, we're just excited about the whole thing. You know, row crops fun, but you know, there's a little bit more passion, I think, for me in the wildlife side of things.
Sure, there's no doubt. There's no doubt to that. It's hard not to get excited about this kind of stuff. Everyone loves to plant food plots. It's a humongous attraction for getting people outdoors. You know, putting seed in the ground is always something that I think is, you know, comes to mind when people say, you know, I'm headed to the property. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to put seed in the ground. I want to watch something grow. I want to have that hands-on experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, we're big proponents of, you know, the native habitat, but this, there's no doubt that food plots allow for the introduction of more people into the outdoors and helps feed game and attracts them. Whether you are hunting or you're just observing, you just want to make a difference, this stuff is neat. It's fun, and it's definitely there's passion behind it from you guys, from us, and I think a lot of the end consumer is right there with us too on that passion side of it. So something we can all get on board.
We're very excited too, and you know, just the overall enjoyment and working with people that are like minded with us makes things a whole lot easier too.
That's exactly right. Well, we are definitely looking forward for you guys coming up this coming week to chase some turkeys. So if you guys are interested to know, maybe we'll do some little interviews or something like that and introduce you guys, get your face out there, because I'm sure they're tired of just listening to us yak on podcasts. We'll get you guys in front of a camera or do some Facebook stuff and discuss some of these blends and chase a turkey or two around the woods, and I'm sure we'll eat good too.
Oh yeah, we're looking forward to that, and you know, hopefully we don't just do some chasing, we bring some back with
us. That's exactly right. That's the plan anyhow, man.
Well, it might turn out better than our duck hunt, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. If it's anything like last year's hunt with Keith and Taylor, it'll be a good one. And from what I can tell, over at Seth's place, we hunted with his son, oh gosh, about a week ago there, youth season, and we heard plenty of birds. Wasn't the great, the best goblin morning, but we called in a flock about mid-morning, and there was four or five longbeards in that group, and he was fortunate enough to tag one. So I know there's plenty of birds over there and across the road on another farm too. So we're going to have a good time.
We got to get them cooperating.
That's exactly right. We got to get Keith out of bed so he doesn't get you late.
Yeah, I'll drag him out if I have to. I don't mind.
That's awesome. Well, I'll let you run. I know you guys are super busy, but really appreciate your time. Again, looking forward to next week. And if anybody has any questions, what is the best way, Heath, for them to get in touch with anybody there at Stratton?
So Keith has been helping us a lot with that. If they want to email Keith, it's khammer, H-A-M-M-E-R, at strattonseed.com. Or feel free to give us a call. I think our number's pretty well posted every which way you can get. So
800-264-4433. And likewise for us, if you guys have any questions about this, these blends or you know, some of the science or something behind it, feel free to email us at info@landandlegacy.tv, and we'll get it answered, or check them out online at landandlegacyapparel.com. We will get it answered for you.
That's right. One way or another.
That's exactly right. One way or another. We're going to do it. So, again, thank you very much, Heath. We appreciate your time, and we will see you guys next week.
Sounds great, man. Appreciate you.
We'll see ya.
See ya.
Well, there you have it. Those are the guys, Heath and Keith from Stratton Seed, and I'm pretty excited about what they've got coming out for this year, 2019. It's going to be pretty incredible. I'm very excited to see, again, the growth from just last year, this year, the excitement, the amount of folks who are getting on board and seeing the value of the product that they're putting out, and kind of changing the way people think about food plots too. You know, not everything is just deer oriented, you know, looking at that dwarf corn, blended into that bona fide blend with the soybeans. You know, there's a lot of other things that we can do out there from a food plot application, from a planting side of things that we can help game birds, songbirds. Again, it's not all just about game species that we're hunting. All this goes to benefit all the other ones as well. So really brings in that conservation mindset. So that's something we can all definitely get on board. So we appreciate you guys listening. Again, any questions, you know how to reach us. We will be chasing turkeys this coming week, and I am absolutely excited. I've been traveling. I know Adam's heard birds, and I think he heard birds in Alabama. I've heard birds in Ohio, Iowa, and Kansas over the past couple of weeks. So it has been kind of wearing on me, and so there's only a couple of days left before we get to chase them here in Missouri. And we'll be after them pretty hard for a couple of weeks. Actually, I will be in Virginia for the Virginia One-Shot Governor Hunt. Pretty neat experience and opportunity there that I'm looking forward to returning home, hunting with my brother. Haven't hunted with him for a couple years now, which is way, way long overdue. So you'll be hearing more about that on an upcoming podcast, kind of what that event is, what it does, and some of the outreach and the meaning behind it. And then we'll be headed to Pennsylvania for consultation. So just keep traveling and chase a couple of birds in between then. So hope you guys get out and are able to do the same. And if you've got that apparel, that turkey hunting apparel, be sure to tag us in it on Instagram and Facebook with your harvest. So again, guys, thanks for listening. We certainly appreciate it. We will catch you next week.